KSL at Night.
You're back with us on KSL at Night. I am Greg Skordis, and I am alongside Taylor Morgan. Taylor, question. What jurisdiction do states have with respect to other states? What authority do they have to go into other states and impose their will, if at all?
It's a great question, Greg.
You should be asking me that, I guess.
You are the KSL legal analyst, so I hope you have an answer for your own question there. I do think that the question is very interesting, legally, politically, of course, with what has been happening recently in the United States, specific to, I'm thinking of Texas and immigration law.
And Texas and abortion
law.
Right.
Some certainly very top controversial issues and political questions that will play a very important role front and center in the upcoming 2024 presidential election. Texas has really been flexing their muscles as a state, Greg. I mean, Texas has always been known for doing that, I think, in some ways. But they're doing it now in new... I don't know. I don't want to get too far down the road of commending what they're doing. But specific to immigration law,
right?
Immigration law has been a total political stalemate in Congress for 40 years. And what Texas is doing might shake up the status quo and just might force change. So in that way, it could be good, but I really don't know. And I'm looking to you as the attorney in the room to tell me how I'm wrong.
Yeah. And oh, no, you're not. And I was surprised a little bit. I think a lot of people were when the Supreme Court jumped in and said, we are not going to stop the Texas law going into effect, which allows Texas authorities to do what has historically for hundreds of years been the province of the federal government, and that is to control the borders. Texas said, look, Biden administration, you were in charge of controlling the borders. You haven't done a good job. We're going to do it for you. We're going to impose our will on what has historically been federal jurisdiction, federal law, and say, we're going to have agents come in here and we're going to... And what they're doing is they're sort of tweaking it and saying, well, it's public safety. We have the right to enforce laws within our state. Of course, the state has a right to do that.
Yeah.
So Texas is saying that. The Fifth Circuit hasn't necessarily agreed. We don't know. The law was supposed to be put on hold. The Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to put it on hold. Go litigate your case. In the meantime, that's the law of the land in Texas.
Yeah. And we know that Utah Governor Spencer Cox has visited the border in Texas, has also deployed members of Utah's National Guard to the border in Texas to support the effort there, what's happening. So it is having an impact outside, certainly, of Texas. And we also see this becoming a thing more so in other border states. Greg, we're talking my new favorite word. My new favorite word is extraterritoriality.
Okay? I know, and you've used that before.
My
right.
second favorite word that used to be my favorite word was vexillology, which is the study of flags. But extraterritoriality is what we're talking about right now. Greg, let's talk about abortion law in Texas and how that plays in.
Right. So Texas has now, in some of its counties, have tried to ban women from leaving the state for an abortion. Now, I don't know how you possibly
enforce that,
but that's what we're talking about. At its core, that's what we're talking about here. In at least four counties in Texas have provided that anyone who provides abortion assistance can be sued by private citizens in Texas. It was recently stopped by a federal judge, but that's the law that they had in Texas at the time, and they're still trying to override what the federal courts are trying to do. I don't know, extraterritorial jurisdiction. If a Utah resident wants to go to New York for something, I hate to use the example. Let's say it's some sort of transgender surgery that maybe Utah law isn't all that favorable for because of the age or whatever. It's a horrible example, but it just comes to mind. What right does Utah have to stop some parent from taking their kid to New York and having the procedure done? I don't think there is such a law. I don't know how they can do that. And what they're saying is, well, people in Utah, or at least the Texas authority, are saying, well, if somebody does leave our state, our citizens can sue those providers, those doctors, those people that are performing these surgeries in the state of Texas for harm that they've allegedly caused to individuals, for citizens of Texas.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a stretch. That's a hard one for me.
Greg, can you talk about reciprocity? and what that is and how that ties into this conversation about states projecting power beyond borders.
Yeah, so that does happen a lot, and it happens in my world. I'll give you a real simple example. Drunk driving.
Okay.
You have a license. You're driving in Utah, but you happen to have an Oregon license. Maybe that's not the best state. You get a DUI in Utah. Utah says, we're taking your driving privilege away. They're going to ship that information to Oregon, too, and say, you should take their license away in Oregon for something they did in Utah. And there is reciprocity. There is it's called an interstate compact on driver's license. That's just an example that comes to mind with your question, where they say, okay, we're going to honor that as well. And we're going to say, and I don't even know if Oregon's part of the interstate compact. I was just using that as an example.
Sure,
but most states are, you got a DUI in Utah. We're not going to let you drive in Oregon either. Lawyers have the same problem. If you're barred in two states, let's say Utah and California, and you get disbarred in Utah, they're going to send that to California. And guess what? California is going to disbar you as well.
Got it. So we're talking about states upholding one another's laws, even if those laws are different.
Right.
I believe, for example, that if you have a permit to carry a gun in Texas, a concealed carry permit in Texas, you can do so in other states like Louisiana. Certain specific issues or laws, there's agreements for reciprocity on different things. It gets super messy and complicated. I understand, Greg, that California has something about foie. Is that how you pronounce it? We're talking about essentially something that California doesn't like because it's made from livers of ducks and geese,
right.
And that's what they care about.
Let me tell you another example, just because I do criminal work that hits close to home. Utah drives to Colorado, buys recreational marijuana, not legal in Utah, legal in Colorado.
I've never heard of anyone doing that.
They come back to Utah, they get stopped. The officer says, what's up with that? I bought it legally in Colorado. There is no reciprocity in that regard.
Okay.
You can buy it legally in Colorado and you can use it legally in Colorado, but you got to stop at the border. You can't bring it back to Utah.
Yeah.
So people will tell me all the time, and it used to happen with alcohol all the time. People
Heard that also applies to very cool fireworks
that
one may be able to purchase in Nevada or Wyoming, Greg.
Wyoming.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny, the fireworks and alcohol venues just over the border in Wyoming and Nevada, not because they're legal in Utah, but because they're so easy for Utahns to get. So reciprocity only applies in certain things, certain areas, but in those arenas, boy, you got to keep it at the border. And because it's legal in one state doesn't mean it's legal in your state.
Yeah. Okay. So perhaps taking a step back here, a broader view nationally with national politics, the two-party system, particularly in Congress, is essentially total dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a stalemate when it comes to the most important issues facing our country. Immigration comes to my mind first and foremost. And Congress has failed to do anything meaningful on immigration. Regardless of what you support policy-wise, Congress hasn't acted for decades. And there is no future, no hope in sight, really, of them acting. And I know we have like 30 seconds left, Greg, but in your opinion, does this push us closer to actually accomplishing policy change? Or are we setting ourselves up for just more political confrontation in Congress that results in the political status quo?
I don't know if this is the answer that you're expecting, but after the Dobbs decision, the United States Supreme Court has given a lot more authority to the states to make decisions about things. And I'm talking about flipping over Roe versus Wade and say, you know what, states, these are your issues. These are your decisions. This is what you're going to do. We're going to see more and more as the court drifts more and more to the right, states' rights as opposed to federal rights. You watch. It's happening now. And a lot of our Supreme Court justices have said, you know what, this is what we've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah, interesting.
When we come back after the break, what would you like to be remembered for? Think about that.
Not getting arrested for importing marijuana to Utah, Greg.
Okay. We'll talk about that after the break.